So her story is that she left her home a month ago when she said her village was attacked, and she escaped by crossing through forest and walking through mountains for days. She was 9 months pregnant at that time, so she tried to move as quickly as possible. She was afraid that she would go into labor while still in the jungle. And she said that she experienced so much pain that at times her family had to carry her when she was unable to continue. And after she arrived at the border, she gave birth without any medical assistance or medicine. She was unable to move for days after. And her family waited for her to be able to stand before they decided it was time to take their chance and cross the Naf River and arrive to Bangladesh with a makeshift raft.
Okay, so her story is now incorporated into those more than 800,000 refugees and vulnerable people from mainly Rakhine State over the border in Myanmar. They're now in Bangladesh's Cox's Bazar region, and they're being cared for. One of the issues that has come up recently is the concern about potential exploitation of these refugees. They're desperate, they lack resources, they've often fled with nothing. Can you give us any details about what kind of abuse the refugees are basically vulnerable to?
Refugee camps in general, and particularly in Bangladesh, in Cox's Bazar, close to the border, are always dangerous places, especially for vulnerable children, especially for children who arrive without their parents, and they lost their parents, or maybe their parents were killed. So they do not have any protection, family protection. These children are particularly vulnerable. Our strategy is really to make sure that these children are part of our child protection network inside the camp. What does it mean concretely? It means that, as you know, we have hundreds of child-friendly spaces where children can play and where they can be registered, and that we follow up, of course. We also have hundreds of child learning centers, but we have also other mechanisms in the camps which allow children to be under protection. Yes, there are risk of sexual exploitation, there are risk of child labor, there are risk of early marriage. It's always possible that a family who has nothing accept at some point the offer of an unknown person so that their child goes to work to do some domestic labor. This is precisely what we want to avoid, because we know that it's going to be probably aggravated by sexual exploitation. So far, we have also ensured 10 identified cases of gender-based violence, but you know, it does not reflect the reality. We know that there are women and girls who have arrived to these camps and who suffered incredible sexual rapes and violence. These women, the challenge is to prevent them from being isolated. They need to be in our network. Same for the children.
Final question to you, Christoph, from UNICEF. The health risk remains high, and you've reported a doubling in the cases of diarrhea recently. You're still seeing hundreds of people arrive every day. What's happening with the state of nutrition in the camps as well?
So we have worrying news, because we saw a doubling of the cases of acute water diarrhea between October 29 and November 5, especially among children and people older than 5. Within a few days, between August 25 and November 4, we counted a total of 27,000 cases of acute water diarrhea. 42% of them were children under 5. Diarrhea kills children. These camps and makeshift settlements are overcrowded and unsanitary places. We are building thousands of water points, latrines. We have completed the vaccination against cholera. That's not enough. Promotion of hygiene has to remain very active. Avoiding cholera and fighting against acute water diarrhea, it's not only about vaccination, but it's a lot more. It's about hygiene prevention. It's about keep providing water to these people, and also waste management as well.